Just go to the first slide. I'm going to have some look. Okay. In Jesus, through Jesus, and from Jesus. In Jesus, that's our position. We're in Jesus. And everything should be through Jesus, and everything should be from Jesus. We had a wonderful, Dan told you about the wonderful Secret Service, the secret time prayer that we had on Monday night with Robert and Kathy, and it was awesome. And I enjoy those times too, like Dan. And Tuesday morning, I got up and I just wanted some more time with him. So I listened to Upper Room's prayer time on YouTube. And as I was sitting there listening and meditating on the word and what they were singing, and they were singing the song that I like that says, God, you became a man. You took on flesh, and you are so beautiful. God, you became a man. You took on flesh. You are so beautiful. Go to the next one. And I was sitting there with my eyes closed and just meditating on the Lord. And all of a sudden I had this spiritual picture with my eyes closed. It wasn't a vision with my eyes open. It was a spiritual thing. And I saw this Jesus in the center. And I saw like everything revolving from Jesus. And it did like this. It made a circle from him. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger. But it all was increasingly coming from Jesus. It got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally it got so big I couldn't tell where it stopped. And God was speaking to me that Jesus is the center. He's at the center. And everything comes through him and from him. But he has to be the center. He has to, I can't draw very well, but y'all get the picture. You know, he's at the center. I want to start off by saying this too. What if the only filter we had was Jesus? What if he was the only filter we had? No other filters, but nobody but Jesus. That's what renewing our mind is all about. Renewing our mind is about getting out all the other filters we have, all the other junk we have that interferes with Jesus being our sole filter, where everything comes through him and everything comes from him. So what is a filter? A filter is something that has the effect of a filter as by holding back elements or modifying the appearance of something. When you think about software, a filter in software is for sorting or blocking access to certain online materials. When you're filtering something or something is being filtered, you're removing something by means of the filter. You're modifying something or blocking something entirely. When we have all this other stuff that's not centered on Jesus, not through him and not from him, then we have other filters that cloud the word of God, clouds out the truth, cause us not to see what God wants us to see, and cause us not to be what he wants us to be. But renewing our minds gets rid of the filters. Spending time with him in prayer gets rid of the filters. Being in the secret place gets rid of the filters. It gets rid of all that stuff that blocks us from being who Jesus called us to be. It gets rid of all that junk that keeps us from walking as sons and daughters as God has ordained that we be and do the thing that he ordained us to do. Jesus said that the works that he did, we would do even greater works. Most of us are doing, there's a lot of people doing, some people doing greater works, but most of us are doing no works or little works or some works. I confess, I've not entered into the greater works yet. I've seen greater works here and greater works there, but not on a consistent basis. And it's all because we have to get rid of those filters. And he needs to be our only filter. Jesus needs to be our only filter. So what I want to do today is look at, oh, let me do this first. Acts 17:28 says this. For in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live. And I want y'all to follow along with me in scripture today. I'm going to try to go slow so you can. In him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. It's not in my job that I live and move and have my being. It's not in pastoring. Well, I don't have a job other than pastoring. I'm retired. But it's not in pastoring that I live and move and have my being. It's not in y'all be husband and wife that, you know, you live and move and have your being. It's not in job or position or the amount of money we have or how much education we have or how much we know. That's not how we live and move and have our being, but it's in Jesus. He's the center of our living, our moving, our being. He is everything. Oh, that we would just get that in our hearts and in our minds. That it's all through him and him alone. That we live, we move, we have our being. We're living right now. I'm moving right now. I'm moving, but I'm moving what? I'm living and moving in Jesus, and that's how I have my being. Without him, there is no life. And I'm not talking about physical life. I'm talking about the life of God, which the word of God says is the light of men. That life that God gave us when we got born again, that life that God put in us, we were dead without him. The Bible says we were dead what? In trespasses and sins. But he has quickened us. He has quickened us. He has made us alive in him. We're alive in Jesus. We're alive in him. Without him, there is no life. Oh, my God. Without him, there's only death. Without him, what we say is in death. What we do is in death. But in him, we live and move and have our being. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to go back to Isaiah 9:6 again. I gave that for our scripture. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's called Wonderful. He's wonderful. He's a counselor. He's our mighty God. He's our everlasting Father. He's our Prince of Peace. In him, we have all of this. Then Isaiah 9:7 said, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And I guess, Christina, go back to the other one. That's okay. And I guess that's why God showed me what he showed me about the increase from Jesus and how it just goes on and on and on, and it increases and it increases and it increases. Of his government, there shall be no end. Of him, it will be no end. In him, there's no end. There's no end in the life of Jesus. But in him, we increase. If you are stagnant and not moving or growing spiritually, you're not increasing. God always designed for us to increase. In him, there's increase. In him, there's growth. In him, we overcome and we grow when we get close to him and we lose all that junk we need to lose. There's increase in him. The increase of his government, there shall be no end. There will be no end to it. You know, throughout eternity, there will be no end to it. When we leave here, we go to be with Jesus, there will be no end to it. How long is our eternity? Anybody know how long eternity is? It is forever and ever. It will never end. It will never end. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God's going to perform this. He's going to perform it. Let's talk a little bit about in him, because we are in him. And I'm going to use the Passion Translation for these next two verses. Acts 10:43, Passion Translation. And not only us, but all of the prophets agree in their writings that everyone who believes in him receives complete forgiveness of sins. In him, that's fine. In him, we receive what? Complete forgiveness of sin. Not half forgiveness, not some forgiveness, but what? Complete forgiveness of all our sin. If there's a sin that you're worried about or thinking about, then you need to stop. Because we have received what? Complete forgiveness. All sin has been put what? Under the blood of Jesus. Under the blood of Jesus. Complete forgiveness, because our sin has been what? Placed under the blood of Jesus. And why? Because we're in him. We're in Jesus. If you're born again, you're in Jesus. All you had to do was believe and accept him as your Savior, and automatically God placed you in Jesus. A lot of times we talk about Jesus being in us, but he's not just in us. We're in him. We're in him. And in him we have what? Complete forgiveness of sin. Let it go. If you got something you have not let go, let it go. That is not who you are anymore. You're in Christ Jesus. Verse 39, Acts 13:39, Passion Translation says this. Acts 13:39, Passion Translation. Everyone who believes in him is set free from sin and guilt. Everyone who believes in him is set free from sin and guilt. So what happened when you believed in him? You got placed in Jesus. And when you got placed in Jesus, because of your belief, you were set free from sin and guilt. Not only are you set free from sin, but you ought not be feeling guilty about it anymore. Sometimes we ask God and we accept forgiveness for a sin or ask God to forgive us, and then we walk around feeling guilty about it. Some of us even try to punish ourselves for it somehow or another. But when you believed in him, you were placed in him and you were set free from sin and the guilt of sin. What else about in him? And Acts 13:39 says, something the law of Moses had no power to do. The law of Moses has no power to set us free from sin and guilt. Guess what? Your laws can't set you free from sin and guilt either. You can erect as many laws as you want to. It ain't gonna set you free. I'm gonna quote this scripture all day long, you know, without Holy Spirit, you know, just quoting, without Holy Spirit, you ain't thought about Holy Spirit, you ain't asked God to help you, you ain't looking to Jesus, you just quoting. That's like a law. It's not gonna set you free. It's not gonna set you free. But if you look at where you are in Jesus, if you see your position, you see where you have been placed, and you see that you have been set free by the word of God from sin and guilt, something happens because what? You are in Jesus. It happens on the inside of you. And when that thing happens on the inside of you, you know it. You know it. When you are set free from guilt and sin on the inside of you, you know it. Something happens on the inside. Something happens in your spirit. Holy Spirit does something in you. Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose you, wait, in Jesus. Before the foundation of the world, God decided, I want me a church. I want me a people. I want me sons and daughters. And he just chose us. We weren't even born again yet. I'm born physically. We weren't even born in the world yet. Mom and daddy hadn't thought about you. But God just choosing you. And I want Eve. Yeah, I want Vixen. Yeah, I want Mary and I want Billy and I want, yeah. He kept choosing us. He chose us before the foundation of the world. He said, I want me a Tyler too. I thought about what we learned in history. Something Tiscanoe and Tyler too. God said, I want them in me. He chose us. He chose us in him. He chose us. Before he made the world, he chose us. And he didn't just choose us any old way. He chose us and he decided we would be holy and without blame before him in love. So in him, there's no playing the blame game. There's no blame game in Jesus. But in him, we were chosen without blame and in love. He ain't saying, you ought to not done this and you ought to not done that. And won't you quit this and won't you quit that? He's just saying, I love you. You've been delivered and set free. Just let me help you act like it. I got grace so you can walk in that freedom. I got grace so you can be free. He has grace for that. So in him, Ephesians 1:7 says this, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And where are you? Where are you, church? In Jesus. You're in Jesus. So you have, because you're in him, you have redemption through his blood. You have forgiveness of sins. You have the riches of his grace. And then Ephesians 1:11 says this, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. In him we have obtained an inheritance. You have an inheritance. I have an inheritance. One of the things we have through the inherited from Jesus and what he did on the cross is we have forgiveness of sins. We have healing for our bodies. We are told we can prosper. All through him. Ephesians 1:13 says this, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So in him, we trust. In him, we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 3:17 says this, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. It's in him that we have what? Boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. My confidence don't come from me. Your confidence don't come from you. But your confidence comes from being in him, having faith in him. So now we have confidence. We have confidence. If we coward, act like cowards or be afraid, that's not Jesus. That's us relying and looking to flesh and not to him. Because in him, we have boldness and we have confidence and we have access to that. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, for all the promises of God, where? In him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through Jesus, through us. So all the promises of God in Jesus is yes and amen. Every promise is yes and amen. You don't have to say, well, God, do you want to give me, if it's in the word of God, it's a promise. You don't have to say, well, God, do you want me to have this or do you want me to have that? He's like, I gave you my word. I gave you my word. And all my promises are yes and amen. If I promise it in my word, it's for you. If I said it, it's for you. It's yes and amen. It ain't just for one and not for the other, but it's for everybody in him. Everybody in him has the same thing. Isn't that good enough? No discrimination because of race or because of how much money you got or your job or your, you know, influence or nothing like that. But in him, everybody gets the same thing. It all depends on whether or not we take advantage of it. But in him, we all get the same thing. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we are righteous because what? We're in him. You're not righteous because of how you acted yesterday or today or tomorrow, but you are righteous because of the fact that our righteousness is in him. He is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. He just wants us to, I think Dan the other week said about being, he just wants us to be who we are. If you're righteous, then just be who you are. Confess who you are. Say who you are. Believe who you are. Walk in who you are. Know you have grace for who you are. God, you said I'm righteous. I believe that. So I thank you that you are giving me grace to be righteous. You said I had self-control. You said I had goodness and faith and meekness. So God, I thank you that I have grace to be who you told me I am. Because what? I'm in Jesus. I'm not in self. I'm not in the world, but I'm in Jesus. I'm of the world, but I'm not in the world. I'm in Jesus. So I have grace to be who I am in Jesus. I have that grace. I have that grace. Let's talk about through him. Let's go to Acts 2:22. Acts 2:22. This was after the day of Pentecost. And Peter and John were going up to the temple. And there was a lame man there at the temple. And they looked at him and they said, silver and gold, I have none. But in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man got up and he walked. He got up and walked. Acts 3:16. And the man got up and walked. So I'm skipping Acts 2:22. Y'all can read it later. Acts 3:16. So the man got up and walked. And people are wondering, well, how did this man get up and walk? Why is he walking? He's been lamed and crippled. What? As long as we know, since his birth. And how's he walking now? How's he walking? But verse 3:16 says this, and his name, talking about Jesus, the name of Jesus, through faith in his name. And his name, what? Through faith in his name. So it's through Jesus the man was walking. In his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Whom you see and know, yes, the faith which comes through Jesus. Your Bible says him, but it's a capital H-I-M. Faith which comes through Jesus has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It is through faith in his name. Through faith in his name. So it's through Jesus. Whatever we receive is through Jesus. Healing is through Jesus. Our prosperity is through Jesus. Our victory is through Jesus. Faith in the name of Jesus. Why? Because we're in Jesus and we've been given faith. The woman of God said the other week, we've given the measure of faith. Everybody's been given a measure. Everybody has not developed their measure to the same level. But we all have a measure because what? We're in Jesus. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. And has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Let's look at Acts 10:43. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. So it's through the name of Jesus, through Jesus, his name, that we receive remission of sin. Romans 1:5, this is a good one. We need to know this. And I have not exhausted all the scriptures. I mean, it's a whole bunch of scriptures that tell us in him, through him, and from him. Let's look at Romans 1:5. Romans 1:5. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So what is Paul saying here? Well, whoever wrote Romans, I think Paul wrote it. Through him, we have received grace. Paul said, we've also received our apostleship. I received grace. I received my calling. You received grace. You received your calling for obedience to the faith. In him, we have grace to obey. I've told y'all that before. In Jesus, we have grace to obey. Isn't it good to know I don't have to try to be obedient. I just have to rely on the grace I have to be obedient and realize that in him, I have grace to obey. We try to do so many things in our own selves and our own flesh. And we try to do so many things in our own will, and we forget the grace of God. We forget our position. We forget because in him, I have grace to obey. Thank you, Jesus. It's not always easy to obey. It's not always easy to step out on faith. But we have grace to do that. Grace is what? Grace is God's ability to do what God has said to do. A quick, easy way to put it. It's the ability to do what God has said do. God had made it so easy for us that we mess it up so many times. We just mess it up because we try to make it hard. He's made it easy. He's given us everything we need, and we make it so hard. We make it so hard. So we have grace through him. Romans 1:15, through him, through Jesus, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. Let's look at Romans 5:9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It's through him, through Jesus, that we're saved from the wrath to come. Do y'all know the wrath of God is coming? We don't say much about it. We don't preach about it, but the wrath of God is coming. But the wrath of God is coming what? Coming to all those that are not in Christ and that are disobedient. Those that have denied Jesus and refused to receive what God has given them, which is forgiveness of sin. So the wrath of God is coming, but because we're in him, we've been saved from the wrath. We've been saved from God's anger. We have his love. We have his protection. Romans 6:4 says this. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. We were buried with him through baptism, water baptism. We were buried through him, with him through baptism into death when you were water baptized. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in newness of life. Baptism is not just an act you go through. The water baptism has significance. That when you were baptized, you were baptized and buried into the death of Christ, just like Christ died and was buried. And he rose up again and he at resurrection, his body was raised. There was a resurrection. So when we get baptized, it's like we are old, everything old man, all that old junk, all that is being buried in the water, and we rise to new life. If you do it as an act of faith, then you have what God ordained that baptism be all about. We should walk what? In newness of life. We should walk in newness of life. You know, you can really get water baptized more than one time. So maybe some of us need to get water baptized again. So we can realize that we want the old man is gone and the new man is rising up. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and the spirit of God do dwell in us, because we dwell in Jesus, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead, talking about God the Father, talking about Holy Spirit, will also give life to your mortal bodies. These bodies we look at, we see life. We give life to these mortal bodies through his spirit who what? Dwells in us. It's through the indwelling spirit of Christ that our bodies are given the life of God. God's quickening life to our bodies. That quickening life heals. It renews. That life of God renews our bodies, heals our bodies, quickens our bodies. And it's through him that our bodies are made alive in Christ. It's not just talking about our spirit being made alive. When our body's made alive, that means our bodies are constantly being healed. Through the Spirit of Christ, through the Spirit of Jesus. That's why when we speak to our bodies and tell it to be healed, it's healed. We say, body, be strengthened, it's strengthened. We say, body, get up and do what you need to do. It has to get up and do what we tell it to do. My body don't always do what I want it to do, what it needs to do. Sometimes it wants to sit down and do nothing. I don't know about yours. So I have to speak to it and say, bodies, get up. You're alive. You got to do what you're supposed to do. Romans 8:37. It's a good one, too. Romans 8:37. I'm trying to finish this, but I don't know. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So through him, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him. Not through me, not through your own selves, but through him. We are more than conquerors. That means whatever it takes for you to get be successful, whatever it takes for you to get through this, whatever it takes for you to overcome this thing, you have got it because you are more than a conqueror. Through Jesus, you are more than a conqueror. Not through anything else, but through him, you're more than a conqueror. You got what it takes because you're in Jesus. And through him, you are a conqueror. Let's look at Romans 11:36. King James Version. For of him and through him, and it's always King James, I tell you otherwise. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. For of him, Jesus, through him, Jesus, to him, Jesus, are all things, to whom be glory forever. It's of him. There's no other way but of him. And it's through him. And then we do it what? Unto him. And it's to him. It's not for my glory. It's not for your glory. It's not for the world's glory, but it's for his glory. It's to him we live and move and have our being. It's to him we are more than a conqueror. It's to him that we give him praise and glory because our sins are forgiven. It's to him. It's to him. It's to him. Let's see, can I go through for him right quick? Acts 13:39, and by him, everyone who believed is justified from all things. What? By him, we are justified from what? All things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Our justification comes from him. Romans 5:9, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We are saved from the wrath to come through him. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him you are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Because we're in him, from him we get wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I'm going to skip Philippians 3:9. Let's go to 1 John 1:5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So where does the message come from? It comes from Jesus. It comes from him. The message comes from him. I can't give you my message. Dan can't give you his message. No preacher or anyone can give you their message. The message has to come from Jesus. It comes from him. It comes from him. The message comes from him. You can't give somebody else your opinion. Keep your opinion to yourself. I need to keep my opinion to myself too. The message comes from Jesus. You need to think now, if it didn't come from Jesus, is it worth saying? Think before you say something. Think before you do something. If it didn't come from Jesus, it might not be worth saying. And it might not be worth doing. The message comes from Jesus. It comes from Jesus. It comes from Jesus. Lord, the message comes from you, so what do you want me to say? The message comes from you, so what do you want me to give the people? The message comes from you, Lord, so what do you want me to say to my children? What do you want me to say to my wife or my husband? What do you want me to say to anybody I'm around? God, what the message comes from you, so what do you want me to say? What word do you have me to give? What do you want me to relay to them? What do you want to say to them? Even if it's a prophetic thing, okay, Lord, the prophetic word comes from you because the message comes from you. So what's in your heart for this person? What do you want me to say to this person? What do you want me to do, Lord? Because the message comes from you. It don't come from what I think, what I feel, what I might believe because of something I took on a belief from somewhere. but the message comes from you. So God, what are you saying? What are you doing? What's your message? What's your message, Lord? What is you saying? What's in your heart? I don't want to speak out of hurt feelings. I don't want to speak out of what somebody else said. I heard somebody else do. I want to know, God, what are you saying? Hallelujah. What's your message? Because God, I need your word. I need your message. Because the message comes from you. It comes from you. It comes from you. And sometimes we might be too tired to hear, too tired to ask, but stop and ask. Stop and hear. God, what's your message? In this day and hour, we need your message. We need what you're saying. We need to see what you're doing. Hallelujah. We don't need our own words and our own thoughts and our own way, God, but God, we need your message. We need to see what you're doing. We need to see you. We need to see you. Then the rest of that verse says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's why we need his message. Because in him, there's no darkness. There's only light in his message. There's only light in his word. 1 John 2:27 says this, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. So the anointing comes from Jesus. The anointing comes from him. The anointing that teaches us. That anointing that lets us know what's true and what's false. That anointing that lets us know when something's a lie. That anointing from him abides in us because we abide in him. 1 John 3:22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. Why? Because in Jesus, all our answers come from him. Whatever you ask, we receive from him. Because all our answers are in him. All our answers is in him. The answer to whatever, I don't care what problem you're going through now. I don't care what trial you're going through now. I don't care what you're suffering with right now. I don't care whatever attack has come upon you right now. Whatever it is, the answer is in him. The answer is in Jesus. Then James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and come down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights. So whatever comes from him is perfect and good. If it ain't perfect and good, it didn't come from him. If it still kills and destroys, it didn't come from him. Jude 1:24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now to him, to Jesus, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. In him, we're given the ability to keep from stumbling. Jesus gives us that. He keeps us from stumbling. And he presents us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. When we stumble, that's because we did not look to him to keep us from stumbling. Because he keeps us from stumbling. Revelation 1:4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. From him we get grace, and from him we get peace. Anything else didn't come from him. If it's not grace and it's not peace, then it didn't come from him. Because grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. Let's stand. Allow Jesus to be your center. Allow him to be your center. Allow Jesus to be your center. And know that you are in him. And know that everything comes through and from him. Let go of every filter that's not Jesus. And let Jesus be your only filter to whom you allow things to come through. And one way of doing that is if you got the word of God, you got Jesus' filter. If you got the Holy Spirit, you got the filter. So allow everything to come through the word of God and through the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit filter out anything that's not of Jesus and that needs to go. Let the word of God cleanse you. The Bible says the washing of the word. The word will wash us and cleanse us of all the junk and get out everything. And we're being filtered by the word of God. We're being filtered by Jesus. So allow the word of God to do that to you. Allow the filter of Jesus to have its work on you. Father God, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you today. We thank you, Father God, for all your blessings. God, we thank you that the message comes from you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It all comes from you, Lord, and we say thank you, Jesus. You are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy. You are the lamb that was slain, and you are worthy. You are worthy of being the center of everything in us, in our life. So, God, we say thank you. We want to be aware of more of your presence. We want to experience more of your goodness. And we want you, Jesus, to always be the center from which we allow things to come through and from. God, you want to work through us, but you want that to come, that comes from us, to come from you. You want that comes through you to come through us. Help us not quench or stifle what you want to bring through us, but help us to allow whatever you want to bring through us to come through. Thank you, Jesus. We want to be vessels fit for the master's use. We don't want to be hay and stubble and wood. We want to be gold and silver, fit for your use, Father. So, God, we say thank you. We give you glory. We give you praise. We magnify your name. And we say thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus.